Shalom and blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a joy, what a privilege it is to study the Word of God and to let the Word of God continue to create godliness in our lives. It would be good for us to hide the Word of God in our hearts in planting. It is good to let the Word of God dwell in us richly, because the Word of God brings light and life to everybody who takes the pain of letting that Word there. So let's get the Word of God and let's study together. We will never go wrong. We are in the process of looking at godly leaders in this generation. Godly leaders in this generation. Previously, we had looked at the people of this generation. Jesus called them evil and wicked because they had forsaken God, because they were only looking for miracles. And you know, miracles can never be enough. They had already seen very many miracles, but they still demanded more miracles and signs and wonders for them to believe. So Jesus said, "You evil and wicked generation." They did not trust God and the Word of God. We discover that the leaders of this generation influence the people of this generation. The people of this age, they are greatly influenced by the leaders. And we discovered that the evil leaders, the false teachers of this generation, they mislead the people of God. In fact, they hide the key of the knowledge of the kingdom of God. That key of knowledge of the kingdom of God, they hide it from the people so that they themselves, those leaders, don't enter into the kingdom, and they restrict anybody who wants to enter by their own traditions. They also teach traditions as a commandment from God, and they make the Word of God null and void. And so, from chapter 12, and we will go all the way to chapter 19, we want to understand how Jesus, the instructions that Jesus gave to his good teachers, agents of change, the instruction he gave them in the face of rejection, because they were being rejected, the instruction he gave them, the education he gave them to prepare inner greatness and outer greatness. One time when they were coming from the mountain, these leaders, we looked at 8 instances that showed that they were very inadequate. Some of them were a certain man brought his demoniac child, a child that was demonized. And the 9 disciples could not drive the demon. And so they were very inactive. They were unable to, you know, to drive out demons. At one time, Jesus tried to teach them, but they could not grasp, they could not ask. At one time, they were arguing who is the greatest. And Jesus told them, the greatest is the one who serves. And so, here now, we want to discover how Jesus prepared his men, his agents of change, so that he'll be able to hand over the mantle to them. So that the opposition, the persecution, you know, the persecution will not wear them out. And so in chapter 12, we discovered the first two poisons they were supposed to guard. So we discovered that we're supposed to guard against the poison of hypocrisy and the poison of the fear of man. Hypocrisy, we say, it is putting on the mask and not being real, hiding the true intention. So Jesus said, you must guard against that. If you want to be a great leader, a great man, because a great man, a great agent of change is the one who serve. But those servants, they must guard against that poison of hypocrisy. Number two, we also discovered that they must also guard against the poison of fear of men. Here, we discovered that they were afraid of men. We discovered that they were afraid of those who would only kill the body. And Jesus told them, do not fear those who would only kill the body. If you are to fear, fear whoever can kill both the body and the spirit and can be able to bring them to hell. And this is the one I want you to fear. And so, we discovered that fear would make one not to accept themselves the way God has accepted them. We discovered that fear makes somebody vulnerable or subject to be controlled by the evil one. And we must guard against the fear of man. The fear of man brings control. It brings manipulation. The fear of man makes people not to be bold, not to be courageous. This session, we want to look at two more poisons that Jesus said you must guard against. And one of the poison that Jesus talked about is the poison of greed and covetousness and worry. What is greed and covetousness? Greed is the desire to have more. Is the desire that cannot be satisfied in a human person. You need more. You need more food. You need more shoes. You need more money. You need more houses. You need more cars. You need more plots. You keep on needing more and more. And the more you need, the more you require. And so there is a hole in you, in a human person, that brings the poison of needing more. Jesus said, you cannot. Blessed is that person who have contentment. That is the greatest gain. You are contented with godliness. You are, you know, you godliness and contentment. He said that is a great gain. Now, covetousness is the desire for somebody's property. You know, the difference between greed and covetousness is that covetousness is a form of greed. But this is the greed of other people's property. Jesus said, do not covet. It is one of the commandments. Do not covet somebody's donkey, somebody's wife, somebody's farm. Don't go and claim, because there's a package for you that God has kept for you. And so this spirit is the spirit that makes, you know, that binds you to require more and more. And the more you require, they destroy your heart. Our hearts. But let me say this. It's not that it's wrong to have much, but it's when You have excluded others and God. One time, I think it's Solomon who made a prayer and said, God, do not give me a lot and do not give me little. Don't give me a lot so that I may not forget you. And do not give me little so that I may lack food and steal and despise your name. Give me my daily bread. Give me what I need. That's why Jesus talked about ask for the daily bread. And to that effect, Jesus gave a parable or a story is a parable of a rich fool. And he said this, that is chapter 12, verses 13. Then someone called Jesus from the crowd and said, Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. It's somebody who is so, you know, greedy. Both of them are greedy. His brother is greedy, but he's also greedy. He is asking that Jesus gives him or comes and arbitrate for property sake. But remember, Jesus came for more than this. You might ask, what's the problem here? Jesus came to let us know the main problem. So to let them know the problem, Jesus says, Jesus replied, Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? In other words, let me not just come too low to decide about new property. Let me tell you what the problem is. And that's what you should guard against. Then he said, Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. I think this is a very good statement that Jesus said, guard against, you know, greed, every kind of greed. There are several kinds of greed. Greed for wealth, greed for material things, greed for clothes, greed for land, greed for education, greed for other people's wives. And covetousness is a kind of a greed. So Jesus said, guard against that. Then he continued to give more to help us understand this. Then he said, then he told them a story. A rich man had fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, look at how this man is speaking to himself. It's God who has made this man rich. He has made his land fertile. And it's God who produces, it's God who makes crops grow. Then he told himself, oh, what should I do? He said, you know, he called a meeting to himself so that he can deliberate on the much riches. You know, having a lot is a great problem, especially greed. So he called himself and he's asking, what do I do? I don't have room for all my crops. He's thinking now. Then he said, I know. I will tear down my barns, that's my store, and bigger ones, okay? Then I will have room enough to store for all my wheat and other goods. Still thinking and speaking to himself. And I'll sit down. Now, this is where the problem comes. And I'll sit down and say to myself, my friend, he's calling himself my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you have worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up every wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Now, what's the problem with this, with greed, is that greedy people amass everything for themselves. It is the prosperity gospel is still there. But they exclude other people and they exclude God. They exclude the poor. They exclude other people that God has given you. Can I say this? The money that you receive, each one of you, is supposed to be divided into four envelopes. One, the money that God brings into my house, into my hand, into my pocket, into my bank, should be divided into four. First group or first category, it should be given to God. So there's a portion that God brings to me that belongs to him. But he tests me. It's a trust. It's for the assignment. So God wants me to give it back to himself in form of tithe, in form of giving, in form of offerings, in form of building, in form of the things I do for God. Number two, the money that comes to me, there is part that belongs to the government of the day in terms of taxes, in terms of custom, in terms of VAT. I know some people don't want to give that, but we are supposed to do that. Number three, the money that we receive, not everything is us. We are supposed to give it to the people, to the poor, to the needy, and to people who request from us, and people that God puts in our hearts. There are so many people that we can alleviate poverty and suffering. Some people in the hospital that we need to help. Some people cannot afford school fees. Some people cannot afford to eat a second meal or even a meal. That money is supposed to cover them. And the last one is the money that belongs to you in terms of eating, expenses, and savings, and your people. But now, when you put all that money into one basket and you call it yourself, that is greed. That's covetousness. And God said, without God, you're not giving to God, you're not rich to God, you don't have a relationship with the people and God. That's wrong. Then he talked about worry. Worry, you see, you have a problem when you have much and you have a problem when you have little. So the second problem that you're supposed to guard is, how do we deal when we have little? Do you know, when we have much, we suffer from greed. When we have little, we suffer from worry. So we must guard against greed for much and worry for little. So Jesus talked about then turning to his disciples. He said, you see, he's speaking to his disciples. That is why I tell you not to worry about everything, everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. Don't worry about food and clothes, for life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. Your father feeds them. And are you not more valuable to him than any of those birds? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Not at all. And if worry can't accomplish a little things like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your father already knows your needs. You see, in this one, we are now, Jesus is talking about how to deal with worry, how to confront with worry. Looking at the things that God has created, the birds of the air, the flowers, the way God created for them, and he says, it is your father who provide for them. Can't he provide that? Worry interferes with our faith in God and trust in God. And so if we, should look at it and have faith in God, we should be able to defeat worry. Father, help us to defeat the sin of worry and the poison of worry and the poison of greed in Jesus' name.